You're listening to Free Radio Olympia. This program is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. If this program makes your head explode or causes emotional distress, or if you suddenly feel as if life suddenly isn't worth living anymore due to the things you learn on this program, then you should blame yourself for the fact that you're such a wimp that you let the world push you around in such a manner, rather than blaming the producers of some radio show, much less blaming the radio station that is airing the show. And you should maybe soon become a Zen master and or a used car salesman and or an astronaut or whatever, rather than trying to educate yourself about things that are simply going to twist your worldview into a pretzel, making your continued existence on this plane problematic. If you have useful suggestions, or if you wish to participate in meaningful debate, then bring it on. But otherwise, if you aren't going to help, then please just shut up and get out of our way, so that we can do what needs to be done. Have a nice day.
Greetings to you, my fellow Cascadians. I truly hate to interrupt this peaceful and meditative moment in your life, but I am afraid that the thunderbolt is about to strike. And I just felt it my civic duty to provide you with a warning.
Somebody help me!
Shut up!
To arms, Cascadia, to arms! The enemy is engaged, and we need all hands on deck!
Rainbow One, I have Goldman Sachs in my sights at 12 o'clock. Repeat. I have Goldman Sachs in my sight.
Roger, Rainbow 2. Open fire with an indignation missile.
We scored a direct hit with the moral indignation missile, but it had no effect. Repeat, the moral indignation missile had no effect.
Copy, Rainbow 2. I guess we have no choice but to drop a truth bomb on their asses.
Rainbow One, the truth bomb appears to have caused significant damage. Goldman Sachs is showing visible signs of distress.
Excellent, Rainbow Two. All hands, the truth bombs appear to be working. Rainbow Three, do you copy? Can you launch a barrage of truth bombs?
That's a negative, sir. Monsanto and Dow Chemical just launched a sneak attack from the rear, and I need to get the hell out of here.
Rainbow Four, what is your status?
Well, the Bank of America just hit us with a lobbyist money bomb. The Citigroup just deployed a devastating brigade of lawyers, sir, and I'm afraid that we are getting our asses kicked out here.
Rainbow 2, can you assist with any public opinion?
That's a negative, Rainbow 1. First they hit us with their Obama bomb, and then they hit us with their Trump bomb, and those two disasters have blown nearly our entire arsenal of public opinion over to the dark side, sir.
Well, I guess that's it, then. We must fall back that we may live to fight yet another day. But wait! What's that up in the sky?
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
Actually, gentlemen, we are about to kick some serious ass here because that is the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day, you turned on your radio, and you were struck by the thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids. The thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary. I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes. So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets. It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse. Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee. Hey, people. Welcome to the Thunderbolt for August 6th, 2021. I hope you're ready to rock, because we're ready to roll. So, I cannot give specific weather predictions on this show, since I record most of it several days in advance. But as for general trends, right now, it is warmer than usual here in the Pacific Northwest, which is evidently our new unusual usual. California is a dry tinderbox ready to burn up this summer, which seems to be their new unusual usual. Meanwhile, the East Coast is unusually hot and humid, but that has likely become their new unusual usual as well. So they probably should get used to it.
Think I go and stop my car to have the adventure.
There is one thing that hasn't changed, though.
She's so freaky.
Texas still just plain sucks.
Don't you blow
as usual.
You
another place where nothing has changed is on the planet Venus, a place where runaway global warming reached its logical conclusion many eons ago, and where it is currently raining sulfuric acid onto a surface of molten metal, as usual. And by the way, that sulfuric acid rain on Venus falls under an atmosphere that is over 100 times as heavy as the Earth is. And thus, if you suddenly found yourself on the surface of Venus, then you would instantaneously and simultaneously be crushed flat by the atmosphere and flash fried to a crisp by the molten metal. All in the blink of an eye. So yes, there are worse places to be than even Texas. And while we're whiling away our while with fiery worlds and cosmic events, no less a personage than the infamous mass murderer of children and former president of the United States, Barack Obama, has all but revealed that UFOs actually do exist. Trading in tinfoil hat futures has skyrocketed. Actually, now that I think about it, maybe I should explain that was a joke. Because these days, it's kind of getting hard to tell the difference between jokes and reality. Anyway, no joke now. While Barack Obama didn't just come right out and say that UFOs exist, He did refuse to deny it when questioned about it, which many interpreted as confirmation of their existence, since had there been no credible evidence of UFOs, then Obama would have simply said that. When his interviewer pointed out this fact, Mr. Obama, in fact, invited the interviewer to, quote, feel free to think that, unquote. Over the decades, there have been scores of reports that cannot be explained concerning guided flying objects doing impossible maneuvers and flying at impossible speeds. And these reports often came from sober, serious, and seriously trained military and commercial jet pilots who are not generally known for being a demographic particularly subject to delusions or hallucinations. And remember, Bill Clinton once told Jimmy Kimmel that, quote, he would not be surprised if he were to learn that aliens exist, unquote. It is also common knowledge that British Royal Prince Philip had a long-running obsession with aliens and UFOs. And, as I pointed out before, there is no empirical evidence disproving the tinfoil hat theory in the first place. Meanwhile, in recent news, a former conspiracy theory that was formerly mocked by the mainstream media has now proven to have legs after all. That theory being that the COVID-19 virus originated in the virology lab in Wuhan, China. The official American message, as conveyed by the official American media at the time that these rumors first surfaced, contemptuously dismissed this conspiracy theory. When researchers first reached the possibility. But now, mainstream tongues are suddenly wagging, and the possibility that COVID-19 originated at the Wuhan lab is now making a sprint right through the canned news. Joe Biden, in fact, has tasked the intelligence agencies to come up with a definitive answer to the Wuhan question within 90 days. Whether or not any of this is true, and the disappearance of several prominent Chinese whistleblowers is one of many known facts that lend a modicum of credibility to these rumors, along with the fact that the Wuhan lab was not only studying pathogenic viruses, but they were conducting, quote, gain-of-function experiments, unquote, on these viruses. Which means that they were making these viruses even deadlier and or more contagious and or whatever other evil things that their evil little heads could come up with. And then evidence emerged indicating that three Chinese scientists from the Wuhan lab had come down with corona-like symptoms as early as November of 2019. Yes, that all sounds very bad, but what makes us into a truly potentially lethal stink bomb is the fact that the American government not only funded a lot of that research in Wuhan, but this funding was provided with the full knowledge
and the enthusiastic approval of Dr. Anthony Fauci himself in person. Bada boom. One of several burning questions that that fact immediately brings to my mind is, why would the United States government be conducting gain-of-function experiments with thoroughly deadly pathogenic viruses at a lab in the middle of China? Dr. Fauci? But even putting aside all of those cans of worms, what is even more disturbing about all the brouhaha over COVID possibly being an escapee from the Wuhan lab is that this is all in the context of the fact that our president seems hell-bent upon resuming the Cold War with China and Russia. Maybe it brings back some childhood memories or something. But what all this means is that floods of lies, half-truths, untruths, innuendos, character assassinations, demonization, misdirection, and provocations are about to inundate the Western media concerning both China and Russia, our newest designated evil threats to our Western way of life, meaning that you won't be able to believe a word that anyone says upon that subject. And as for Joe Biden's tasking the intelligence agencies with telling us what is going on with COVID-19, I would advise Thunderbolt listeners that you do not attempt to hold your breath waiting for any actual answers from any of those people, and I would suggest you ignore any answers that they may eventually provide, except insofar as you can interpret their agenda by which lies they have chosen to tell us. If you're doing a righteous thing, then you usually do not have to lie about it.
Wait a minute, what was that?
Look out.
Next on the agenda, the Thunderbolt would like to clue listeners in to an exciting new job opportunity. Yes, if you have ever wanted to assist Darth Vader in keeping control of his Death Star, then I am most happy to announce that the FBI is currently hiring. Well, you know what that gives me?
Hey, love, baby, put the janks on me. I got the heebie jeebies and can't get well. I got the heebie jeebies and the Jew got the tail lip. Hey, by my baby, then no, not well. I'm gonna ring your door till I break your bell. You gotta jump back.
Yeah, the heebie jeebies indeed.
Heebie jeebies, gotta jump back.
And if, like me, you are thinking that the FBI are a bunch of incompetent boobs at best and a thoroughly corrupt political hit machine at worst, a while back, the FBI scored a major victory when they started marketing an undercover encrypted messaging app just so they could sign up a bunch of criminals and start monitoring them. And for once, one of their crazy plots worked. because they recently arrested hundreds of people based upon evidence that they obtained from their poison app. In addition, the FBI also supposedly recovered a lot of the bitcoins that were used as the ransom payment in that cyber attack on Colonial Pipeline.
Over you no more. You gotta jump back, jump back.
The only way they could have done that was if they had the crypto key, which leads to speculation upon how they managed to obtain that key, or even whether the whole Colonial Pipeline attack was actually a false flag operation conducted by the feds themselves for some reason, perhaps to increase some agency's budget. Yes, pure speculation. But such speculation is inevitable when one is constantly dealing with pathological liars. Ba-da-ba-da. Everyone, including me, Ba-da-ba-da. Is totally outraged not only by the fact that Bill Cosby recently walked free, but he walked free on what most would think of as a legal technicality. And to make the irony complete, the appeals court overturned Mr. Cosby's conviction because he had previously admitted that he was totally guilty. This hypocrisy and outrage is par for the course. What people don't seem to realize is that the legal technicality in question in Bill Cosby's case is actually a keystone feature that is holding up their entire mass incarceration strategy. The problem was that the prosecutor used a confession that Bill Cosby had made in a previous case, and in that previous case, the previous prosecutor had agreed not to prosecute if Mr. Cosby would confess and pay out substantial compensation to the victim. And that brings us to a thing. Now, I forget the exact number, but a huge majority of criminal cases never go to trial. They end instead with an arrangement that is called a plea bargain. For poor people, a plea bargain usually consists of pleading guilty to something that they may or may not have actually done in return for a seriously reduced sentence, and or they confess under threat of being prosecuted for something else that is much worse. The usual tactic is to charge someone for something that is much more serious than whatever they actually did. And then they hang that threat over their heads as leverage toward obtaining a guilty plea to a, quote, lesser charge. In other words, their standard practice is to threaten, bribe, and coerce poor people into pleading guilty. For rich people, on the other hand, plea bargains are usually a way to escape responsibility for something that they did actually do. And Bill Cosby's confession in his previous case was a classic example
and that confession was made as part of just such a plea bargain. Therefore, since Mr. Cosby's confession in that previous case was used in his prosecution for the current case, then the appeals court was basically forced to throw out Mr. Cosby's previous confession, because if defendants could no longer trust the word of prosecutors about such things, then those defendants would very quickly stop plea bargaining and start taking all their cases to trial.
You're a boy, make a big noise, playing in the street, gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, your big disgrace, kicking your can all over the place.
That brings us to another thing, because if even a tiny fraction of criminal defendants started taking their cases to trial, rather than sick of the plea bargains, then the entire prison industrial complex would spectacularly implode. Such an insane paradigm very effectively demonstrates just how thoroughly twisted their entire prison industrial complex is. Since I would love to see their prison machine implode, then I would strongly encourage all criminal defendants to start taking their cases to trial. In the meanwhile, though, it's time to take a quick station break.
The Thunderbolt will return in just a moment. The views expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views of anyone else associated with this radio station. So, politically, I am pretty much more of an anarchist than anything else. That said, though, there is one big difference between myself and most other anarchists, in that I feel a state of anarchy is something that humanity needs to evolve into.
Make a big noise playing in the street, gonna be a big man someday.
Whereas a lot of other anarchists,
your big disgrace, kicking your can all over the
seem
place,
to think that it is something which can be forcefully imposed.
We will rock you.
However, as radical as I may or may not be, I like to think strategically. And I want to do things that will actually make the world a better place.
Body, you're a young man, hot, starting in the streets, gonna
rather
take on the walk
than just spinning my wheels
your big disgrace,
on feel-good
your
exercises
place,
that don't actually accomplish much of anything.
We will rock you.
I've heard it said that if you start picking up rocks in order to throw them at other people, then you should avoid dropping them upon your own feet. I think that a lot of the strategic thinking on the left too often fails to account for blowback coming from the other side. Now, I'm not advocating bending over for Nazis or validating them in any manner whatsoever. And in fact, with but few exceptions, I suspect that trying to reason with Nazis would produce results that are similar to trying to teach a pig how to sing. However,
I would suggest that we can more effectively mitigate their damage if we do not ourselves supply them with such rich fodder for their craziness. That would further suggest that Nazis shouldn't be our target audience.
We will rock you.
Anyway.
We will rock you.
I would suggest that we need to start targeting Joe Public. Joe Public is not a Nazi, even though he sometimes votes for them. And he does not believe he is a racist, even if there is possibly some unconscious stuff going on there.
Buddy, I'll go make a big noise, playing in the street, gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you beat the square.
Joe more or less believes what he's always been taught to believe. And he gets his information and worldview from the mainstream brainwashing machine. He tends to be mostly more or less content with the status quo. So there's a significant part of him that is confused and looking for answers.
Yeah, buddy, you're a young man, hard man, shouting in the street, gonna take on the world someday. You got blood on your face, your big disgrace. Women, you're better all over the place.
And while Joe doesn't know what's really going on, does understand that the mainstream media and his own government have become largely untrustworthy, which is why he voted for Donald Trump in such large numbers, not once, but twice. And in fact, more people voted for him the second time than they did the first time. And ultimately, it is Joe Public that decides things. Unless you want to go full bore authoritarian, then even the president needs to keep in the good graces of Joe Public. That is why the media goes to such extraordinary lengths to brainwash Joe Public into thinking certain ways about certain things. And that being the case, then if you have an idea, even if it's a good idea, and especially if it's a great idea, then you're going to need to present that idea in a manner that does not freak out Joe Public, or else you're not going to get anywhere, no matter how good your idea is, and no matter how much data you have to back up your idea. I would suggest that the left often seems not to take Joe Public into account in their action, words, or deeds. Now, I'm fully on board with abolishing the police.
Buddy, you're a boy, make a big noise, playing in the street, gonna be a big man.
However,
you got mud on your face.
We can't just suddenly eliminate such an embedded institution that involves so many people. And there will probably always be a need for police-like actions with certain people.
Buddy, you're a young man, hard man, shouting in the street, gonna take on the world someday. You got blood on your face, you big disgrace, waving your banner all over the place.
Like so many other paradigm shifts, abolishing the police is something that humanity needs to evolve into. However desirable abolishing the police may be, when you start even talking about defunding the police, much less abolishing them, then for Joe Public, what you are talking about is marginalizing the people who keep his kids safe. Yes, the police often actually make his kids unsafe. But that is not what Joe believes, and that is not how Joe sees things. And we need to take Joe's perceptions into account if we want him on our side. As I said, we need Joe on our side because we cannot win without him. We can eventually educate him, but again, that is going to be a slow process, and you can't be insulting him or talking down to him or scaring him away during that process. Now, if I had been in charge of labeling this movement, I would have called it Repurposing the Police. Yes, not quite as catchy as defunding or abolishing, but also much less threatening and much less likely to freak Joe out. So can we get a cheer for Repurposing the Police? Okay, not my best idea. Let's move along now. Symbols can be important and powerful things. Symbols can unite, they can inspire, they can cement things into a collective memory. The creation of Juneteenth as a national holiday is a very important symbolic milestone. Every year now, our collective legacy of slavery, oppression, and brutality will be aired in public. And the African American culture that emerged from all of that will be celebrated. In addition, for once, African Americans are finally getting a holiday in a primetime summer slot that is perfect for celebration, rather than trying to jam everything to do with African Americans into the deep frozen month of February. However, symbols are symbolic. They are not the actual thing. It is important to keep that in mind because nefarious actors often use symbolic acts to deflect us from the real changes that need to be made. It costs almost nothing for most of those politicos to vote in favor of making Juneteenth a national holiday, as in and of itself, the fact that Juneteenth is now a national holiday still doesn't actually change much of anything as far as the systemic problems go. Now, when people push for the changes that are actually needed, the opposition can say, look, you've already got Juneteenth. What else do you want? In addition, from now on, when all those racist politicians do racist things,
They will now be able to point to their vote in favor of Juneteenth as evidence that they can't be racist. They voted for Juneteenth. Yes, people, I plan to celebrate Juneteenth with enthusiasm. But I also plan to keep my eyes on the prize. And now it is time to get to work. All right. So normally I play some music to fill out the hour. And after building an entire show largely up on the back of a single song, then I'm going to go with the obvious choice for the musical selection this week. This is the original Queen featuring the very original Freddie Mercury. Enjoy.
Buddy, you're a boy, make a big noise, playing in the street, gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace, kicking your can all over the place, singing,
we will rock you. We will rock you.
Buddy, you're a young man, hard man, shouting in the street, gonna take on the world someday. You got blood on your face, a big disgrace, waving your banner all over the place.
We will rock you.
Sing it.
We will rock you.
Buddy, you're an old man, poor man, pleading with your eyes, gonna make you zombie someday. You got mud on your face, big disgrace, somebody better put your bag into your place.
We will rock you.
Sing it.
We will rock you.
Everybody,
we will rock you. We will rock you.
All right.
Yeah.
the sound of his feet. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip to the sound of the beat, yeah. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone, and another one gone. Another one bites the dust, hey. Hey, I'm gonna get you too. Another one bites the dust.
Before I left my dust green.
All right, little compilation of some of Queen's greatest hits there. That was Fat Bottomed Girls. Before that, we had Another One Bites the Dust. Before that, we had We Are the Champions. And we started off that set with, of course, We Will Rock You. Those guys did some amazing music. There's a good little Freddie Mercury movie or whatever. It's a dramatization of his career on Netflix right now. You might want to catch that as well. So that's it for this week. Hope to see you next week. Please consider contributing to this radio station so we can keep doing things like this. So until I see you again, please keep in mind that the views expressed on the Thunderbolt are those of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station or anyone associated with this radio station. The Thunderbolt website is dana98501.wordpress.com. 98501 is the downtown Olympia zip code, if that helps you remember that. And you can contribute to the Thunderbolt cause at patreon.com/thethunderbolt. Glad you joined us this week. We hope to see you next week. And in the meanwhile,
thank you very much.